If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to Perplexity.
Five years after the death of Palmetto High School librarian Pat Mullins, his family is still searching for answers, and the person responsible, SNN's Samantha Sonner, has the story.
Almost 5 years after his death, Jill Mullins remembers Pat as a good husband and a good father, and thinks about the life he's missing.
He would be retired now. He was looking forward to retirement to start a new vocation. He wanted to be a grandfather so much, and our first grandchild is due in the next couple weeks.
On January 27th, 2013, he went missing after taking his boat out on the Braden River.
It was just the beginning of what was a real nightmare, trying to learn what happened to him.
A spokesperson for the Manatee County Sheriff's Office says the case is still an open death investigation.
Pat's death is not solved. Pat's homicide is not solved, and we need that to be done.
One family thinks a killer may be on the loose. And now attorneys representing the dead man's family say new tips to investigators may help put someone behind bars. SNN local news reporter Rob Wells takes us to Manatee County, where detectives are hoping to find answers for a family who lost so much.
We'll find resolution for the family, because certainly that's what we want. I mean, we're not working against the family here. We're trying to work with the family.
In late January 2013, there was an eerie sight in the open waters of the Gulf of Mexico in Bradenton, Florida. An unmanned vessel floating in silence. The boat was out of gas, the anchor was missing, and so was the driver. Where the driver of this boat had gone and what happened to him still remains a mystery to this day. No facts, no answers, just theories. A father, a husband, a teacher, a man who had so much more life to live. This is the story of the disappearance and unsolved death of Patrick Mullins. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you are new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, you are in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hi, my friends, welcome back. I'm happy you're here. I have a wild episode for you guys today. Pretty much from the first time I ever heard this story, I knew that I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. The disappearance and very mysterious death of Patrick Mullins, it's a very unsettling, tragic story. I first saw it several years ago on the revamped Unsolved Mysteries. It's just one of those cases that has stayed in my brain. So I'm sure there's people who will hear it today that aren't familiar and will probably feel the same way. Before we get into today's episode, I do want to remind everybody of a couple things really quickly, and then also a few announcements. It has been almost 3 years now since I started the show, and this whole time I haven't had a domain. I've had like a weird Wix website, and I finally bought a domain and kind of remodeled the website, and I'm proud of it. And you can also like listen to the podcast on there. You can submit stories. So go check out perplexitymysterypodcast.com. Go give the new website a look. Tell me what you think. And you can always submit your listener stories there. If you scroll down, there's like a little submit box. You just type it in and send that my way. And that will just make my little heart so happy. And I just want to remind everybody, as usual, there's tons of new stuff coming out nearly every week, sometimes every other week, over on the Perplexed Society. So that's patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. And you always get episodes ad-free and 2 days early. So go check that out. My mini mysteries, my new series is over on there. That's lots of fun. Texas Urban Legends, creepy stories from the internet, documentary coverage. Really, it's whatever you guys want. So those tiers start at just $2 a month. That is the number one reason I get to keep doing this podcast. So go check that out if that interests you. All of those links are down in the show notes. In just a couple weeks, I'm going to Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California. Me and a bunch of other creators are going to be there hanging out together, and we would love to see listeners there. The tickets are pretty cheap. If you go for the whole weekend, it's like $70. So a day pass is, I think, around like $30 or $40. If you are in the Long Beach area, I would love to see you. It's August 15th through the 17th, and you can get your tickets on the Midsummer Scream website. I do want to issue a trigger warning for this episode. There is elements of violence and also self-inflicted death, so listener discretion is advised, and all the sources that I used for today's episode will be available down in the show notes. So, without further ado, let's get into the story of the mysterious death and the disappearance of Patrick Mullins. Patrick Mullins, who commonly went by Pat, and his wife Jill married in 1983. They lived in Bradenton, Florida, near Tampa Bay, in a little house off the Braden River with their two sons, Mason and Miles. Pat served in the National Guard for 6 years, and then he taught fourth grade for about 21 years. Later, he decided he wanted to get his graduate degree, and his wife Jill wanted the same, so they actually got their graduate degrees together and both became librarians. There's a really sweet picture of them both in their gowns having a little graduation party that'll be in the YouTube video. At the time of Pat's disappearance, he was just 52 years old. He was a beloved school librarian and media specialist. He worked at Palmetto High School. He was described by his students as being a very loving and caring man. The students really seemed to look up to him, and for some students, Pat was even a father figure. Pat's family and friends described him as being very intelligent, regimented, by the book, cautious, disciplined, and calm. He was not a risk taker. At the time of his disappearance, Pat also had a lot he was looking forward to. He was getting close to retiring, thinking about what he wanted his life to look like in that way. His 30th wedding anniversary with Jill was coming up, and he was also excited to be a grandfather. His sons, Mason and Miles, were older at this point. Pat's son, Mason, the oldest, was in the army. He was stationed over in Afghanistan. And his younger son, Miles, was getting his bachelor's degree close by in Tampa. He would come and visit his parents often. Pretty much his entire life, Pat really enjoyed working with his hands. He was restoring an old army jeep at the time of his disappearance. He regularly worked on old boats. He was like MacGyver. He knew how to fix just about anything. He also found a lot of solace in the outdoors and just being on the water, which I can totally relate to. There's something so calming and grounding about being out in nature. From the time he was young, Pat and his brother Gray were spending countless amounts of time outside, on the water. They liked going fishing. That was their whole thing. So when Pat got a family of his own, he decided to carry on that tradition. Week after week, Pat, who was also a very experienced boater, would take his boat out on the Braden River, right by his house. This was his dream boat, a 14-foot, flat-bottomed stump knocker. The waters in the Braden River were also very shallow and clear, which made it really easy to spot fish. So sometimes Pat would go mullet fishing, he would take his sons with him, and other times he just took the boat out on his own. He also enjoyed looking out over the Florida waters, and Pat knew the Braden River like the back of his hand. Sunday, January 27th, 2013, was the day that Pat disappeared, and it seemed like any other day. He had stopped by a farm store in Bradenton, and he bought a drain valve for an air conditioner and a set of welding goggles that were on sale, which makes it look like he had plans. He wasn't intending on disappearing. His wife Jill was also visiting her sister that day in Sarasota. She kissed Pat goodbye. He was like, "I hope you have a good day, honey," and that was that. Jill had a great time with her sister, and she came back in the evening around 6:30, and this is when she realized Pat was nowhere to be found. She wasn't initially worried. She called his cell and he didn't answer, but Pat often left his cell phone at home, so she thought he was just running a little behind, but he would be home soon. But then the hours went on and Jill started looking around outside. She was talking to neighbors and she couldn't find him anywhere. Pat was a pretty routine guy. He usually returned home around 7 o'clock each day, and he would wind down. And then Jill realized that Pat's stump knocker was not parked in its usual spot. It was missing. So this raised alarm for Jill. It was also dark at this point. It didn't make sense for him to be out on the water. So Jill quickly called her son, Miles, and he tried to assure her that everything was fine. Miles also remembered that he had talked to Pat the day before, and his dad had told him that he was going to take his stump knocker boat out that day. He was going to run some gas through it and just make sure that it was running smoothly. So Miles is like, "Don't worry, he probably just stayed out a little later than planned. He'll be back with the boat soon." But time continued to pass, and Jill was getting more and more worried. After several more hours had gone by, and she still hadn't heard anything from Pat, she called her son Miles again, and this is when Miles knew something was wrong. He wouldn't stay out this late. Miles would say in the Unsolved Mysteries episode, quote, "He was the last person you'd have to worry about being able to find his way home." So at this point, Miles decides that he's going to drive down to Bradenton and he's going to help his mom look for his dad. The Mullins were a big boating family. Miles also had his own boat and so did some of his uncles. So together, him and two of his uncles went to the Braden River to look for Pat. They figured this is the only area where he would be. The Braden River does empty out into a much larger and deeper Manatee River. But Pat would never take the boat out that far. It was only meant for shallow water. He always went through the Braden River. So this is where they would search. Together, Miles and his two uncles searched every nook and cranny of this river, and they found absolutely no sign of Pat. Initially, they had thought that Pat must have gotten hurt or something and was stuck, but now they couldn't find him anywhere. It also didn't make sense for Pat's boat to have broken down and him not be able to fix it, because again, Pat was like MacGyver. He knew how to fix everything. He restored old boat engines all the time. So his family's thinking something's really wrong at this point. By the time it was 11 p.m. and the Mullins family still had not heard or seen Pat, they knew it was time to contact the authorities. So Jill contacted the Manatee County Sheriff, and they quickly started a search operation with their Marine unit and started talking to neighbors. Neighbors reported seeing Pat leave alone in his boat around 3 p.m. that day. So at this point, Pat has been missing for about 8 hours. The hours continued to go on, and there was still no sign of Pat. So police would then contact the Coast Guard. Helicopters were also going around the area all night, and the next day, January 28th, authorities would locate Pat's boat. But Pat was not inside.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Stump Knocker was found northwest of Egmont Key in the shipping channel. And this was amazingly far from his house. 9 miles. A 2 to 3 hour trip. All of his belongings were in the boat as well. The sunglasses, the straw hat, life vests, there were gas cans, but the boat was out of gas and the anchor was missing. The engine was set to idle and the ignition was left on. There were no signs of injury or foul play. So at this point, police were theorizing there had been some type of medical incident. Maybe Pat had fallen into the water. Or maybe something else had been going on in Pat's life that his family didn't know about. He had left voluntarily. Maybe he got onto another boat or he got off land and just let the boat drift out. But to his family, when they found out that the boat had just been on and ran out of gas the whole time, it's like he had left unexpectedly. Something had caught him by surprise. And when investigators started digging through Pat's bank history, his entire life, they found nothing. There was no concerning medical history. There was no reason why Pat would leave voluntarily. Investigators would then take the Stump Knocker out of the water and start processing it. And they quickly found something strange. There were long red paint scratches along the side of the boat, like someone had bumped into him. Miles would confirm that those scratches had not been there before. Meanwhile, the Coast Guard continued searching for Pat. The Coast Guard would use what is known as the reverse drift method, and this relies on currents and wind data to determine where the boat most likely came from. They hoped that if they could figure out where the boat first started drifting, then they would be able to go there and find Pat. So the Coast Guard concluded the Stump Knocker most likely drifted from somewhere in the local Tampa Bay out into the Gulf. Jill would say at this time, quote, "It was a very long week, waiting to find out if Pat would be found, hoping that he would be found alive, but really praying that he would simply be found, because an answer at least is an answer, end quote. That's something so heartbreaking that I hear in missing persons cases time and time again. Obviously, the idea of finding your loved one deceased is horrific, beyond painful. But at the same time, it's still an answer. Whereas these people who have their loved one go missing and never find any trace of them, it's like there's always that open door, those unanswered questions. After searching for nearly 70 hours, covering more than 2,200 square miles, authorities would still find no trace of Pat. And so on January 29th, they called off their search. 9 days after Pat disappeared, I can't imagine how horrible those 9 days were for his family. On February 5th, a fishing boat captain named Jeffrey Page would stumble upon the body of Pat Mullins. Jeffrey had heard about Pat's disappearance on the news, but at first he thought this was a mannequin floating in the water. And then as he got closer, he realized this was a man and it must have been the one he had seen on the news. So Jeffrey doesn't touch Pat's body, but he's looking at it and he noticed that he was missing a shoe. But other than that, he was clean as a whistle. Those are the words he uses. The hairs on his arms, his hands, his wristwatch, everything was like in its perfect place. His wallet was also in his pocket. But the other really unsettling thing that really sticks in my mind with this case is the rope. So Pat Mullins was found with a rope very intricately, tightly wrapped around his body. It was around his neck, his chest, between his legs, and the rope was tied to the missing 25-pound boat anchor. He was found in shallow water as well. It was only about 4 to 6 feet deep. Jeffrey immediately called the Florida Marine Patrol, and they arrived about 40 minutes later. The authorities would then contact Jill, the wife of Pat for nearly 30 years, and deliver this devastating news. Pat's brother, Gray, would later say that part of him felt like he was lucky that he didn't find him like that. He was one of the uncles that helped look for Pat, and he said it felt like fate, basically, that he wasn't supposed to be the one that found him. Miles also said he felt very lucky to have his father for as long as he did, because there are people who have never had that. But it's incredibly heartbreaking hearing their interviews. There's also a lot of crime scene photos in the Unsolved Mysteries episode. They don't show Pat's face, but I do just want to give that trigger warning in case anyone does watch the episode. Those pictures will also be in the YouTube video. So I'm giving that trigger warning now, that way if you want to fast forward through that, you can. Investigators found Pat in a moderate state of decomposition. It did appear that he had been in the water for the last 8 to 9 days. He also had severe head trauma, with 6 separate exit perforations on the left side of his skull and 1 large perforation on the right side. This was indicative of a shotgun injury with some type of buckshot. The medical examiner also noticed that his arms had not been tied. However, Jill also says the medical examiner seemed to be heavily leaning towards a self-inflicted wound, and that he felt the ropes would have been tied differently if it was a homicide. The medical examiner also told the family the shotgun was fired below Pat's right earlobe at the rear of his cheek with a slightly upward trajectory. And the medical examiner admitted he had never seen any self-inflicted shotgun wound like this. But regardless, he continued to support the theory of a self-inflicted death, primarily because Pat's lifestyle apparently didn't seem consistent with being a victim of murder. I guess he's saying because he didn't have a high-risk lifestyle, but I always hate that mentality. So now for investigators, the question was this a murder or was this a suicide? Maybe someone murdered him and made it look like a self-inflicted death. They didn't have enough grounds to say it was one or the other, and the investigators left it as undetermined, which I was happy to hear about because there have been other stories that I have covered, like Phoebe Handschuk, for example, where that is not what happened. So they kept it undetermined and they continued their investigation. And meanwhile, an investigative reporter from the Herald Tribune in Sarasota named Lee Williams would start to poke into this case. He was also interviewed in the Unsolved Mystery episode, and he would say law enforcement continued to push the suicide narrative to the Mullins family. Police said that he tied the rope around himself, dropped the anchor into the water, positioned himself on the edge of his boat in this perfectly impossible way, and then went overboard. But my whole thing is, how the hell did he get his boat 9 miles out? They also didn't have guns in their house. Pat had no interest in guns. He had never owned or touched one. The investigators also checked his bank records. They talked to local dealers. He had not taken any money out. No one had sold him a shotgun. Also, big thing that really bothers me, the shotgun was not on the boat and it's never been found. That makes it even harder to determine what happened that day. My understanding is a bullet casing was also never found. The bullet wasn't found, so we don't know much about the gun. Miles also found that the way the rope was tied was really unsettling to him. Miles didn't think that these knots looked like the ones that his dad would have tied, or any boat person for that matter. So remember, the Mullins are a boat family. Miles has spent his whole life on the water with his dad. He has seen his dad tie knots a million times, and I'm assuming he's probably who taught Miles how to tie knots. So he would be able to tell if these were knots that his father had tied, you know? And he's looking at it and he's like, there is something off. This is giving me a really bad feeling in my gut. My dad does not tie knots like this. Meaning, somebody else tied them. Pat's wife Jill also felt like homicide was much more likely, and that he was likely killed before he was tied up. Because why would you need to tie the hands of a dead man? In 2021, the Mullins family still had not gotten any answers, so they decided to hire a forensic expert, Lori Baker, to look into Pat's death and this whole suicide theory. Lori is a professor of anthropology and forensic science, and Lori points out this area of the water in Florida in particular had a lot of sharks, alligators, of course, because this is Florida, and a lot of other predators. Pat's body was in pristine condition, so she found it very, very strange that he had been in the water for nearly 10 days, and no predators had touched him at all. She also started conducting experiments to try to recreate Pat's death, taking a man out to the same waters and asking him to tie the same types of knots, put him on the edge of the boat, try to position this shotgun to where it could have been self-inflicted. Lori also points out that there were no contact wounds on Pat's face, which would mean that if this wound was self-inflicted, he would have had to have held this long-barreled weapon with his arm extended out even more and on the side of his head as well, to where this barrel wouldn't touch his face. Lori concluded it would be nearly impossible for there to have also been no blood in the boat. Because that's the other thing. They did luminol testing in the boat and there was no blood of any kind. That leads me to think that Pat was not killed in the boat. And to me, I mean, that makes it very clear that this is a murder. So my question is, was he held somewhere for several days and then dumped? Did the murderer drive his boat out and then dump Pat's body? Did he tow it and cut the rope? And if Pat Mullins was murdered, why?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Try it now for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
One of the big theories in this case is that Pat saw something that day that he was not supposed to see. Maybe he saw someone on another boat that seemed to be in trouble, and so he was trying to help them and was met with foul play. There have been a lot of motorboat thefts in the area, people who illegally harvest fish, and allegedly drugs are known to move up and down the river. One of the other really frustrating things about this case is the video footage. In the area where the stump knocker was found, there is a bridge that had a ton of cameras on it, and the only way for the stump knocker to have gotten out where it was if it passed through the water would have been through this bridge, meaning there should be video footage of Pat on his boat going through here. Police did allegedly obtain video from these cameras, but the video was apparently corrupted, and they said that the footage was an immediate dead end. Damon Crestwood, a good friend of Gray, Patrick's brother, was also interviewed multiple times throughout the investigation, and Damon raised some red flags, specifically for Pat Mullins' family. Now, Pat was not close with Damon. Damon specifically was just close with Gray and some other family friends. He was a chef, and he was described as a sweet and dependable guy by his friends. But after Pat's disappearance, Damon started to act really different. One of the people who discusses this in the Unsolved Mysteries episode is a family friend of the Mullins family who regularly interacted with Damon, and this family friend is also a psychiatrist, so he is quite literally a professional at studying human behavior, and he found Damon's whole demeanor very odd and unsettling. He would say that Damon started getting really upset after Pat disappeared. He would sob uncontrollably, and this didn't make sense because, again, like, he wasn't close with Pat. Damon told Jill that he would often go to the Manatee River after Pat's death, and he would just cry and sob. So everyone's like, what is going on with Damon? Friends of Damon would also say in the Unsolved Mysteries episode that he asked his friends very concerning questions. He would say things like, if something happened, would you still be my friend? People who were close to the Mullins also noticed that as years passed, Damon would have mental breakdowns, and they happened to be every January, the month that Pat died. He would act extremely erratic and paranoid, and eventually, Damon told Gray that he had been using crystal meth. And remember, one of the theories is that drugs were being moved along this river. Miles, Gray, and the psychiatrist family friend also recalled a particular day. It was a memorial event to celebrate Pat, and Damon was in attendance. He brought his dog with him, and Miles noticed that he tied a rope around his dog, and he tied the same rope around himself. According to Miles, these were the same type of knots that were found on Pat's body. And then, if you think back to the red paint scratches that were found on the stump knocker, Damon also had a boat with a red stripe on it. He commonly took this boat out on the Manatee River close to Tampa Bay, the exact same area where Pat's body was found. So the police are looking at Damon at this point, and they wanted to sample Damon's boat as well, like get some chips from the paint and compare them. But Damon refused to give the police permission to do this. And police also didn't have enough evidence to get a warrant to process Damon's boat. So this was another frustrating dead end. On April 5th, 2017, Damon died from an overdose at the age of 48. I don't know much about this, but we do know that after his death, Damon's daughter luckily allowed Damon's boat to be tested to compare the paint to the paint found on the stump knocker. And police would confirm that this paint was a match. So you might be thinking at this point, case closed. But no, this is another very frustrating, seemingly dead end. The report would determine that, yes, this paint was a match to Damon's boat. However, this paint was of a very common variety. So you couldn't, like, definitively prove that this was Damon's boat that was involved in Pat's death because it was used on hundreds of other boats in the area. Jill feels, though, that Damon is at the very least aware of how Pat died. She feels that he was involved in some way, allegedly. It also seems like, unfortunately, there were some issues with how Pat Mullins' investigation was handled. Daryl Davis, the lead detective on this case, was a former student of Jill Mullins, which some would say is a conflict of interest, and he was also inexperienced. He had never conducted a death investigation. There was also contention between family and law enforcement regarding how authorities would obtain that video footage under that bridge, the CSX railway bridge. And Jill feels like this wasn't done properly because police waited too long. Like, she feels like if they would have acted sooner, then they wouldn't have had issues with the video being corrupted. Jill also recalled that police were very condescending to her and that they seemed to be put out when Jill would demand more movement and answers in the case. So as far as where this case stands today, Jill has not given up hope. She believes that Pat was murdered and hopes that one day this will be solved. She did get remarried, and in 2017, she put the house up for sale. In 2020, Jill was still posting signs and posters on the fairgrounds at the annual Manatee County Fair in the hopes that someone will come forward with new information about Pat's death. That same year, Jill and her attorney were able to finally get the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the FDLE, to classify the case as a homicide. But since then, it seems like the investigation has stalled. So the case for the death of Patrick Mullins remains open. If you have any information regarding the unsolved death of Patrick Mullins, you can contact the Manatee County Sheriff's Office at 941-747-3011. And that information will also be available down in the show notes. So that, everybody, is the perplexing and unsettling story of the death of Patrick Mullins. You can see why this case bothers me so much, right? It's just, it's still in my head. There's just something about, like, the way that I see this guy is that he was like everybody's friend. He was like the nice guy at the barbecue who's super reliable and has good advice and can help you fix your car if it breaks down. He was like the sweet teacher, an incredible dad. It's just really heartbreaking. And he has just been described by so many people as being this incredibly kind, by-the-book guy. It truly seems to me like he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he was probably just trying to help someone. All the cases I cover are so sad, but there's just something about that that really upsets me. And I've thought about this case for years. I hate that this family still doesn't have answers, and I really hope they're able to find out someday what happened to him, because in the words of Jill, an answer is still an answer. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed the way this story was told, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're watching on YouTube, drop a comment down below. I want to hear what you guys think about this case. What are your theories? Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't. If you're listening on Spotify, you can also drop a comment on this exact episode and we can talk back and forth. And if you haven't done so yet, it would really help so much if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can. Each time you do that, it boosts me up the algorithms, and that's how I get new listeners. And that's how we would get this story out to that many more people. If you want to support the show further, you can join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. There is so much bonus content on there, over 70 episodes, and I'm releasing new stuff at least a couple times a month. That means the world too. That really helps keep the show going, and you always get early and ad-free episodes. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Don't, please don't tail this guy. I know it's easier. He sounds sure. But listen, you don't want to chase another guy's picks, man. You should see the way he dresses. It's all a monthly subscription where he gets his clothes chosen for him. That's the guy you want to make the pick after? No, the pick should be yours. Do something you actually believe in. And if you're on Underdog and you lock in, you can let him chase your tail. Now you're a dog. Underdog. Make your pick. Unleash your dog.
Terms may apply. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.